Good evening, one and all. As David introduced me, I am Pastor Antonio Blevins of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church in Hubert, North Carolina. I've been pastoring for coming up on 9 years, been the pastor of Friendship for coming up on 9 years in October.
Amen.
We thank God. This past week, my wife and I, we celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary.
Wow. Amen.
Which is unique in itself. Like we said on Sunday, most people are not staying married.
Yes.
Very long at all anymore. So it's a blessing to be with one person and share that much of your life with one person.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. I'm gonna try to be as brief as I possibly can because she has school in the morning.
Oh.
She has work early in the morning. So I'm gonna try to be as brief as I possibly can. Tonight's subject is the cross.
Yes. Wow.
A lot of people don't understand what it means about the cross. Crosses are everywhere. I see Karen and David has one up here on the award.
Yeah.
I guess that's an award on the wall.
Yeah.
A lot of people wear them for jewelry. A lot of see them at the pinnacle of churches on the roof of a church. They'll have them as a necklace. They'll wear them as a ring. They'll have them on their cars and bumper stickers. But what does that cross symbolize to that person?
Amen.
Are they really getting the meaning of what that cross is symbolizing? Last time I was here in the home group, I talked about hell.
Yes.
I want to lighten it up a little bit this time and not go so fire and fury. So I lightened it up a little bit and talking about the cross. But it's something that we have to get to. It's
yes.
Something that we have to honor.
That's right.
Most crosses, if you look at them, there's nothing on that cross.
Yes.
Jesus is not on that cross anymore.
That's right.
He got off that cross a long time ago.
Yes.
And now he's in his earthly, in his heavenly place.
Yes. Amen.
At the right hand side of the throne with our God.
Right.
I have two questions that I want to address. And I have several scriptures to go with these two questions. The first question is, what does the cross represent?
Amen.
And I'm going to give you some scriptures, and we're reading. I'm going to have you participate. Those of you that brought your Bible, I have you to participate. You can join in and read along. But the first scripture is Luke chapter 23, verses 32. Luke chapter 23, verses 32. David, if you get it, can you read that first one, please, sir?
I'll get it. Luke 23,
verse 32.
One more page. Amen. Verse 32 says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death."
Malefactors, meaning those are people that have committed a crime or done something wrong.
Yes.
Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross and he did nothing wrong.
Yes.
Nothing. But he hung there right along with the thief and the murderer. Right along with him.
Amen.
And we have to understand, this was the point that we get to see that he's hanging there.
Yes.
He didn't just do it for me. He did it for anyone who chooses to call upon him.
Amen.
And so we all have an opportunity to come to him. He's not forcing himself on you. He's not trying to make you feel guilty. He lets you come of your own free will and your own volition. Miss Karen, if you can. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. So much dealing with this cross. What do this cross represent? What is the meaning of this cross? Why are these crosses so important to us? What do we as Christians believe? Why is it represented? Are you there, Ms. Kara?
Yes, Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law,
yes,
and the curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree.
Amen.
Hang it on the tree. That was a tree that he was hanging on. A tree and three rusty nails.
Yes.
He didn't just, like I said, he didn't just do it for me. He did it for any of you that choose to. And that was his choice.
Yes.
Something he felt he had to do for us.
Amen.
And so many of us have to understand the things that God is showing us. He wants us to see this. I did this for you. He's the only way. Sister Addie, if you don't mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. The printer was acting up before he left, so I normally have copies for everyone, and I did take the time this time and typed up all the scriptures so everybody can have them and everything. But the printer was acting up before we left the house, so I couldn't get them for everyone. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read that, please?
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Wow.
It had to happen.
Yes.
The cross had to happen.
Amen.
If he didn't go to the cross, none of us would have an opportunity. Right. We would have been left out.
Yes.
Jews would have been the only one. We'd have been left out.
That's right.
So he did it on the cross for us, for all of us. And we got to understand, in this human form that we live in, that we dwell in, we go through some things and we have to humble ourselves.
Ooh.
If you humble yourself to everything.
Amen.
Don't boast, don't beat your chest and say, oh, look at me, woe is me, look at what I've done, look at this. No, understand this, that okay, if I humble myself, it's more likely that I can relate to you and you agree with the things that I say to you.
Yes,
if
that's
I
right.
don't, if we argumentative, he said, how can two walk except they agree?
Yes.
Right. Agree. If we're fussing and arguing, we're not agreeing on anything, and you're not hearing me, I'm not hearing you, we're going back and forth, nothing is getting accomplished. So we have to agree on some things and understand the things that God wants us to see. The cross was a Roman instrument of punishment.
Yes.
The Romans used this cross to punish people. During this time when Jesus went to the cross, they took it outside the city. They were getting ready for Passover.
Right.
They were getting ready for all the things that were about to take place. And they had to take it outside the city because nothing that was dying or dead could be within the city.
Yeah, right. That's
and
right.
They had to take it outside of the city. So these things, Romans wanted to inflict the most amount of pain on a person. Mm. Now you think about it. You're stretched out on a cross, and it's a nail driven through this hand and a nail driven through this hand, and your feet are crossed, and a nail driven through both legs or feet, however they wanted to do it, that's how they did it. And you're, all of your body weight is established on those nails.
Yeah.
Think about the pain and the power also that you have to have to sustain yourself. You're going to want to die. Mm. You're going to want to die because all of your weight. Now, they did a little trick with us when we was in the Marine Corps and boot camp and basic training. They was like, Smiley, that's what they called me because everything was funny to me. It was the whole thing because I was in great shape and everything was funny to me, and they wanted to break me. Mm. They wanted to do all they could to break me. And they said, okay, we're going to break you today. And they told me to go to my rack and grab my rifle. And they told me to come on the quarterdeck, and I stood before the whole platoon. And they said, hold this rifle out with one hand until I get tired. I said, till you get tired.
Yeah.
He said, yes, until I get tired. And he said, I'm going to do everything I can to break you. You're not going to smile. You're not going to laugh. You're not going to do anything. You're going to be sweating, and I'm going to break you. But what I did, I would zone out. I would block out all the feeling of pain, and everything else. And I would just sit there and hold it. I would close my eyes and he would come there yelling at me, trying to scream at me. I'd have blocked him out completely.
Yeah.
Think about Jesus Christ hanging on that cross.
Yes.
He was blocking everything up and he was talking to the Father.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
So that cross has a certain important value to all of us.
Yes.
Because he blocked everything out so that we can see the things that he was going through for us. He made it personal. Your relationship with Jesus Christ has to be personal.
Yes.
One-on-one, you can talk to him. You can be in that relationship with him. It's up to you to form that relationship, to establish. He's there waiting. All you have to do is reach out. Romans 10. You ain't got to turn there. I'll quote it for you. Romans 10, verse 13. If you call upon the name of Jesus,
yeah, that's right,
you shall be saved.
That's right.
Period. Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
That is no other name among any name upon this earth that you can be saved by other than the name Jesus. And he did it for us on this cross. Our next scripture we're going to, David, if you could, Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and 18.
5, 17 and 18?
Yes,
17.
Sir.
For if one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came unto all men, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life.
Amen.
Amen.
It happened through Adam, and Jesus Christ had to come to change it.
Yes, that's right.
That's what he's talking about here in Romans. It happened through Adam. Jesus Christ had to come and do away with all sin at that time. So we can be established, so we can be accepted in. So many are choosing not to be accepted in.
Right.
For God, one of my favorite scriptures, God thought enough of me. I make it personal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not shall, should and shall are two different words. Mm-hmm. And if you put shall in there, it changed the whole meaning of that scripture.
Yeah.
But he said, should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal in some Bibles.
Yeah.
It'll say eternal, or some it'll say everlasting.
Right.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
John 3:16. We have to understand that he loved us first.
Yes.
He cared enough about us first to love us and send his son Jesus out here so that we may have a chance to be saved.
Yes. Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
The cross is important because of these things that I'm telling you.
Yes.
It's not just that because it was that tree that we have and that we are established by. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Sister Karen, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Susan, if you want to read, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18 and 19. If y'all can use my Bible if y'all want. Because I have all of them written
down. I'll bring mine next time. We've been moving and packing.
No, you're absolutely fine. I'm just saying so you can follow along.
I appreciate that.
So you can follow along. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, either one.
You got something.
Go ahead.
Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Mm-hmm.
19. That was it. That was it. Yeah. You're right. It's all this stuff that we possess. The homes, the cars, the jewelry, the money,
everything.
It's going to be burned up. It's going to be left back here on this earth. We can't take any of that stuff with us. So why do we hold so tightly to our earthly possessions? Is that more precious than what our Heavenly Father has for us? He said in Romans 8:14, he said, I reckon the suffering of this present world is not worthy to compare to the glory that is to come.
Yes.
That glory that's coming, it's something else that's going to be better than what you have here. Yes, you may have a fine home, a fine car, and all this stuff here on earth, but there's something better. There's something for you that's better than all the things that you have here.
Amen.
All the things. So what are we doing to get there? What are we doing to be there? What are we doing to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What are we doing? These are the things that we're trying to say. What do the cross mean to you? To you.
Mm.
We have to understand this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29. I want you to read that. Anyone that gets it can read it. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29.
Philippians 1, 29 through
27 through 29.
Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, mm-hmm. and whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye be steadfast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them that evidence token of a perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Mm-hmm. Not only do you have to believe in him, you're going to suffer some things on his behalf.
Yes.
Because you chose him, you're going to go through some things while here. Mm-hmm. Not when you leave, while you're here, you're going to go through some things. And those things may not be what you expect them to be. It may not be pretty for you. But God wants you to go through it. Sometimes you just have to go through it. Just grit your teeth and just bear. Just bear. David, that had foot surgery within the last year. Now he's about to have a knee replacement.
Yeah.
It's painful. I went through some of the same things that he's going through. I'd had, like the brother you said with the hip, whole new hip.
Wow.
Brand new hip. That's a new hip.
Yeah.
Best thing I ever did. Best thing I ever did.
Amen.
Because I was hurting. Pain. And there was nothing I could do but try to bear it. I tried to bear it until just finally I said, Lord, I can't take it no more. I got to get it done.
Yes.
And so I went and got it done. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Because right after the surgery, soon they woke me up in the recovery room, gave me a little time to get my bearings. They got me up. And began to put that walk in front of me. I began to walk around the hospital. And I'm like, wow, you would never think they done cut part of your bone out of your body and put something else in there, and you'll be up walking on it that same day in a matter of hours after the surgery. You would never think that.
Yes.
Right. But God put doctors here for a reason.
Amen.
They put them here for a reason. And they are representing this cross as well. There are so many jobs. So many different jobs. You said you work with a lot of farmers. With a lot of farmers. Guess what? If you weren't providing the seed, the fertilizer, and all the things that they need, we couldn't eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't eat. We depend on farmers.
Amen.
To do their jobs so we can eat. So we can be sustained and do the things that we need to do. Every one of us have had or have a job.
Yeah.
To do. What are you doing while you're on these jobs? Are you representing Christ? Are you one of his? Are you choosing to be with him?
Yes.
Are you one of his? We have to understand that. And I'm trying to go through it as fast as I can, y'all. But I don't want to miss things that you need to hear.
Amen.
The first epistle of John, the third chapter, the 16th verse. Epistle, not gospel, as a difference. Epistle just simply means a letter. That's a letter. That's all that means. It's a letter. And Paul, a lot of times, wrote a lot of letters. He wrote pretty much just about all of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first epistle of John, the third chapter, the 16th verse. You want to read? Go ahead.
But God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm. Epistle, not gospel.
Oh, Jesus.
Not if she's writing the gospel. Go ahead.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we
ought to lay
down our life for the brethren.
Amen.
He was the perfect example for all of us. Are you willing to lay down your life?
Hmm.
Are you willing? That's a tough question. Are you willing to lay down your life? It could be two things. It could be a physical laying down of your life.
Yes.
Or it could be a spiritual laying down of your life. Meaning that you take your old person and you get rid of that old person and you become a new person and you walk in the likeness and the image of God and you do the things that he would have you to do. What we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about here. And it's so much. Write that question out, because I know you got one. Write it down.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to finish up this first question with Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We'll finish up this first question with this.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death.
They have defeated him because of the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And because of their testimony, and they were not afraid to die.
Yes, that's right.
Christ's blood and his cross represent the ultimate victory over death.
Yes.
He said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 5, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Yes. O grave, where is thy victory?
Yes.
We have victory over the grave.
Amen.
The grave cannot hold us. We got to get up. We're going to get up out of the grave. And that's so precious. Question number two, Oma. Have you with you tonight. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? A lot of people question that. Why it had to be a cross? I told you earlier, Romans wanted to inflict as much pain and torment and torture as they possibly could. They wanted to do that to you, and this was part of the reason.
Yes.
Because they were in control at that time.
Yeah.
During that period, they were in control. And in that region, they controlled everything. So, first scriptures I want you to turn to is Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross.
Christ's death was necessary.
Yes.
So that we would have a way to be forgiven of our sin.
Amen.
this stuff that we dwell in called flesh,
mm.
it causes us to sin.
Yes, it does.
As long as we dwell in this stuff, we're going to sin. And if you say you don't sin, you're a lie. And you don't know it. And we don't want you to not know Jesus. We want you to know it. So as we dwell in this house of flesh, we're going to go through some things. We're going to go through it. So what is your sacrifice unto him? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to represent? Romans 6:6. Romans 6:6.
Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin.
Yes. Wow.
Do you get that? We don't have to be slaves to sin. Sin doesn't have to, we don't have to serve sin.
Right.
We don't have to serve that sin. There's sin all around. You got two sins that the Bible speaks of, sin of omission and sin of commission. Bible speaks about it. It's others, but those are the primary, some of the primary. Omission and commission. Things that you know to do or not to do, and things that you you just don't care to do, or you forget to do. And we can go more in depth, but we kind of press the time. I will go more in depth on that. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. We're getting close. We're getting close to the end. Titus chapter 2, verse 14.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people, zealous of good works.
Christ's death on the cross was, God bless you, was the only way for you to be saved from the power of sin over your life.
Amen.
Those who believe in Christ and accept his sacrifice are no longer slave to sin. When you accept Jesus as Savior, he frees you and cleanses you from all sin.
Amen.
All sin. Romans 6:23. I'll just quote it for you. For the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. There's a lot of scriptures I can just quote for you, and we can. But it starts off, for the wages of sin is death. If you sin and don't get forgiveness of those sin, you don't want to die that second death.
No.
That's what he's talking about, that second death. Not the first death, the second death. That is when you're condemned to hell, tormented forever.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, he fixed it up for you. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Right. He paid the price.
It's already paid for. So if you are already paid for, I'll do it like this. If you go to Costco, Sam's, or anywhere, or Walmart, or wherever, and you buy whatever, you expect to walk out with what you paid for, don't you?
Yes.
Or have it delivered later, don't you? So, if you're already paid for, you've already been bought and paid for with a healthy price, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Why not serve it? Why not serve? Why not be his? Why not be in his family, his group, and serve him? One of the last things I'd like to leave you with, which is a promise from God.
Yes.
A promise from God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Just carrying this wood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen.
He promised us in this that if you serve him, that all this stuff that you ask in his name to be forgiven of,
yes,
he doesn't even remember. Listen, if you fussing and arguing with someone and you have an alt with someone and you say, I forgive you, but I won't forget, have you really forgiven them?
No.
Because if our Lord and Savior said he remembers it no more, what makes you better than him that you keep bringing it up? You said you forgive him?
That's right.
So why do you keep saying you remember? You're going to remember. But I never forget it. I never forget. You're wrong.
All right.
You're wrong.
That's right.
So don't let this stuff get you sent to a place that you don't want to go.
Amen.
We're already going through a whole lot on this earth. Why die and leave this earth? Go through even more. And go through even more. Why? We shouldn't. We shouldn't, not at all. Are there any questions, any comments about anything that we've gone over tonight? And I hate to rush through it like this, but time.
Antonio Blevins, 24 September home group meeting. Great job. Amen.